To the book of Matthew, and then turn with me also to the Gospel of John, Matthew 22 tonight, and we'll read there, and then we'll look at a verse here in John, and we'll, it's not my desire to be long tonight, but don't get too excited, it might be the Lord's, you know. You heard the story about the fellow brought his friend to church, and the preacher got up, getting ready to preach, and he had a wristwatch on. He opened it up, took the wristwatch off, and set it there upon the pulpit. His friend looked at him and says, "What's that mean?" His friend said, "Absolutely nothing." Some of y'all get that in about 3 hours when I'm not through. Matthew 22 tonight, we'll start reading in verse number 23. The Bible says here, "The same day came to him the Sadducees." You know, they didn't believe in the resurrection, so somebody said they were very sad, you see. "Which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and also the third, unto the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her." Notice what Jesus says in verse 29. Of course, they're trying to trip him up. They're trying to, he's told them that, you know, about how that the law, they understand the law about the marriage and how this works. And we'll go into all that, but the brothers to take the wife if there'd be no seed. So they're trying to trip up the Lord Jesus. In verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." Now I want you to go with me also to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. Won't you look with me down at one verse of John chapter number 5. Look with me at verse number 39. Bible says here, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." Lord, we thank you so much tonight for the opportunity to stand on this sacred desk. We pray, Lord, you'd help us. We thank you for these thy people that have come to hear your word. Lord, we ask you tonight to anoint us. Give us the words to say. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the power to preach. Lord, I pray tonight that your spirit would be felt in this place. Lord, we ask you tonight that you would bind the powers of Satan, put a hedge of protection about this place. I pray, Lord, you would let nothing hinder the work of God. Lord, I ask you tonight, cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit, and help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. It's all said and done. We're going to be sure to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. R.A. Torrey, the great pastor and preacher and evangelist and writer, he said this about the importance of reading and studying the Word of God. He said, "You may talk about power, but if you neglect the one book that God has given you as the one instrument through which he imparts and exercises power, you will not have it." He said, "You may read many books and go to many conventions, and you may have all you may have your all-night prayer meetings to pray for the power of the Holy Ghost, but unless you keep in constant and close association with the one book, the Bible, you will not have power." He goes on, he says, "And if you ever had power, you will not maintain it except by the daily, earnest, intense study of that book." He said, 99 Christians in every 100 are merely playing at Bible study. Therefore, 99 Christians in every 100 are mere weaklings when they might be giants, both in their Christian life and in their service. I cannot begin to tell you tonight how important the Word of God is. Now, many of you know that. Mentally, we understand that. We realize that, but we don't practice that. The Word of God is so important. There's no greater thing for us as Christians to know than for us to know the Scriptures, that we know the Word of God. You may know a lot of things about making money. You may have a business mind and have a lot of knowledge about business. And in the business world, you may be very intelligent and have a lot of degrees and letters behind your name. And that's a very honorable thing. Certainly it is. But the reality is, all of that is man's wisdom. And if you do not know the Word of God, then you're missing the most important thing in guiding your life. The Scriptures, God's infallible Word. Jesus said to the Sadducees, we just read a moment ago, and to this religious crowd, He said this, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures." Now I want to tell you something tonight. If we could get a hold of that one truth right there. Can I tell you the error in this world, even among Bible-believing, independent Baptists, fundamental Christians, the biggest problem that we have, He says, ye do err, not knowing the Scripture. When we get into error, it's because of the fact we get away from the Word of God. It's because we don't many times know the Word of God. Oh, we know it, but it's been so long since we've heard it, we've forgotten it. And so He says, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures. And when we come to John chapter 5 here in our text, we find another religious group who also was in error. And because of their error, notice Jesus encourages them, and He says this to them, these three words, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. And so tonight, I want to just encourage you on reading and studying the Word of God. And I just want to preach for the next few moments on this thought, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. As we look at just this verse right here, verse number 39, there are several things I want to point out about what Jesus has commanded and commissioned for us to do. Search the Scriptures. Number one, notice the exhortation. Notice here there's an exhortation. There's encourage. Jesus encourages and exhorts them. He encourages and exhorts you and I. What does He say? He says, search the Scripture. Now, can I say very candidly to you tonight? We search Facebook. We search Instagram. We search Twitter. We search eBay. We search Craigslist. We search the web. We search the television. We search all these things, but how often, honestly, do we search the Scriptures? You want to know something? We'd be a whole lot better if we do what the Lord Jesus says. He says, search the Scriptures. You know, the Bible tells us, I'm going to read to you. You don't have to go there. You can if you like, but hold your place in John, Proverbs chapter 2. I want to read this to you. Very important. Proverbs chapter number 2. In Proverbs chapter number 2, look with me starting, let's see here, in verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive, now watch what he's talking about, my words, it's the Word of God, and hide my commandments, we know that's still the Word of God with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. That's part of the Word of God, that's what it is. And apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, lift us up thy voice for understanding. Notice how he paints this as searching the Scripture. If thou seekest her as silver. Boy, I tell you, there's billions and billions of dollars been spent looking for silver and looking for gold and the treasures. Much has been put into that. I know people, and I've seen the stuff, people give their whole life and their whole everything they've got. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. It's talking about the Word of God, the truth contained therein. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Look back at verse number 6 there in Proverbs. He says, the Lord giveth, what's he say, wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Hey, you know something? You need wisdom regarding a decision you have to make. We run everywhere else. We try to find the answer everywhere. We go to the computer. What about this? We call our friend on the phone. What about this? We talk to everyone else instead of getting the mind of God. He said, if you want wisdom, and then you need knowledge and understanding about a situation, about a trial in your life, I don't understand it. Lord, I don't understand this. Go to Psalm 73. Many other scriptures we could quote and talk about. And I'll promise you, you get in the Word, you'll find some understanding. Romans 8, 28, 29. All things work together for good, them that love God, them that are called according to His purpose, right? He's predestined things into our life. You want wisdom and knowledge? Go to the Word. You've probably heard the old adage, if you see a Bible that's falling apart, it probably belongs to someone that isn't. A lot of truth in that. Search the Scriptures. We find first here the exhortation of the Scriptures. We're encouraged by the Scriptures to search the Scriptures. When you look at this, the word search, it involves two main things. That word search, when God says, the Lord Jesus here tells us, He encourages us and edifies, He says, search the Scriptures. It involves two main things. Number one, notice the passion in searching. The passion in searching. Now you need to understand, He's just told them, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. He tells them here, search the Scriptures. There's a passion, friend, that ought to come along with our Bible reading and with our Bible study and with you and I when we open the Word of God. It ought to not be willy-nilly. It ought to not be something, oh, listen, those people that don't have what we have, and so many times overseas, brother, you've probably seen it, and they get a Bible and they hug that Bible and they kiss that Bible and they hold that Bible and it's everything. They guard it with their life. What we do with ours, throw it on the dash. Throw it on the table, we get home. Listen, there ought to be a passion in the Word of God. Passion in searching. When Jesus says search the Scripture, listen, He's not saying make sure you read a verse or a chapter a day. That's not what He's saying. Listen, I think it's good to have a devotion book to go by and some of those things. If that helps you, that's fine. I'm not against that. I'm for that. I promote that. And we try to get devotional things in the ladies' hands and in the men's hands. I'm for it. But God didn't say, Jesus, when He says search the Scriptures, understand, He wasn't simply saying make sure you read a verse of Scripture a day or make sure you read a chapter a day. He's not saying make sure you just get some little nugget to carry with you through the day. That's not what He's talking about at all. But what's involved here, when Jesus says search the Scripture, understand there's a dedication, there's a diligence, there's a definite passion to read and to study the Word of God. This isn't some casual reading of the Bible, but it's a diligent, thorough study of the Scripture. You say, well, I don't really have that kind of passion about the Bible. You start reading it, you will. Listen to me. You get in the Word, and you let the Word of God get in you and dwell up inside of you, and you'll get a passion. Who's ever read a book that you just couldn't put down? You're just captivated by it. That's how the Bible is, if you'd really ever read it. I'm not talking about reading it to check off your three chapters. I'm saying when you read it to know the author. Well, when you read it to get the mind of God, listen, it comes a time when you begin to get passionate about the Word of God. The Bible is just like that book you can't put down. You start studying something before you know it. Hours have passed, and I can tell you the times that I look, whoa, man, it's wee hours up in the morning, and hours have passed. And you're just having a big time in the Word of God. Jesus says, search. Search. If you search it for her as silver. How deep you dig for that? How far will you go for the treasure? It's a lot more than what the typical Bible browser does. He says, search the Scripture. We need to be like the Bereans who the Bible says in Acts, they search the Scriptures, watch this, daily. Daily. That's more than Sunday morning Sunday school. That's more than Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's daily to see if those things were so. There needs to be a passion. Child of God, you want to know the mind of God, and we have it here in the Word of God. There needs to be a passion. I want to read to you this that I ran across some time ago. It says this, I supposed I knew my Bible, reading piecemeal, hit or miss. Now a bit of John or Matthew, now a snatch of Genesis. Certain chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd. 12th of Romans, 1st of Proverbs, yes, I thought I knew the Word. But I found that thorough reading was a different thing to do. And the way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. You who like to play at Bible, dip and dabble here and there, just before you kneel a weary and yawn through a hurried prayer. You who treat the crown of writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjointed, just a crude, impatient look. Try a worthier procedure, try a broad and steady view. You will kneel in very rapture when you read the Bible through. Oh, listen, there's something that happens when you really immerse yourself in the Word of God. There's something I can't, all I can do is tell you that it happens. I can't tell you how exactly it happens, and I can't tell you what it is when I can simply tell you that something happens when you get in the Word of God, and the Word of God gets in you and dwells up inside of you. Great Bible scholar known as James Gray, he told a story that really shows us the importance of reading the Bible in order to grow, and if you're going to grow in your Christian life. You know, the Bible says what it says, what Peter said, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get saved, we're born again. When we get saved, we get a new nature. When we get saved, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and that means new creation, right? There's life. He brings us by, says we pass from, in John, from death unto life. Now, the natural thing for any living thing to do is to grow. You don't grow, you're going to be in trouble. So, we're going to grow in grace. We need the Word of God to grow in grace. He tells us, he says this. He said that when he was a young Bible teacher, he became deeply impressed by the peace and by the spiritual foundation of one of his friends, somebody he talked to often. He wanted to know that same peace. He wanted to know that same poise that this friend of his had. And so he asked his friend, he said, what's the secret of your confident attitude and of your positive outlook? The man said, well, it started all in the book of Ephesians. James Gray, he was surprised by that simple response, and he kind of looked, you know, just kind of astonished there. And so the man continued on, and he said, well, on one occasion, he said, I was on a short vacation. He said, I took a pocket edition of Ephesians with me. Lying down one afternoon, I read all six chapters. My interest was so aroused that I read the entire epistle again. In fact, I did not finally let down till I'd gone through it some 15 times. He said this then. He said, when I arose to go in the house, I was in possession of Ephesians, or better yet, it was in possession of me. I had the feeling that I'd been lifted up to sit together with him in heavenly places, Christ Jesus, a feeling that was new to me. That testimony encouraged James Gray to master the Word of God, and he became a masterful Bible teacher and Bible preacher because he began to saturate his mind and his heart with God's infallible, impeccable, inexhaustible, indisputable, indestructible, perfect Word of God. We see the passion involved in searching. Notice the second thing, the plan to search the Scriptures. But you understand, there's a plan. Searching the Scripture involves a plan. It's not just something that we haphazardly do, just a haphazard study of the Scriptures. What makes studying the Bible the most profitable is when there's a systematic study of it. Now, yours don't have to look exactly like mine. Whether you break it down by book, whether you break it down by theme, whether you break it down by topic, honestly, one of my favorite studies of all time is to do a thematic Bible study. So many wonderful themes throughout the Bible. Wonderful themes. You follow that scarlet thread of the blood of Christ through the Word of God. Oh, we could talk about so many wonderful themes throughout the Word of God, but there are many ways to study the Bible. The thing is, we need to have a system. We need to have a plan. Just breaking it down. Listen, that's what makes it profitable when you break it down book by book or theme by theme or topic by topic. It's all about studying line upon line and precept upon precept. I want you to understand, here's where people, well, I just preach, when I get in there, I just get lost. I don't understand anything. The Bible's a systematic book. It's not a hard to understand book. It's not even a hard to figure out book, really, when you have the Holy Spirit helping you and guiding you. I'm not going to stand up and tell you I know everything that this Bible says and understand it all, because I don't. There's plenty in here I don't, but I focus on what I do understand. And I can tell you this, it's really not that hard to figure out. It's a systematic book. God designed it that way. It's about studying line upon line, precept upon precept, comparing Scripture with Scripture. And a lot of people, here's the problem, listen to me, they never put enough thought in searching the Scriptures to develop a plan. You know what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15? Study to show thyself approved. Prove workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He tells us to study. I had that of all the years I taught Sunday school young people. That was our verse in Sunday school class. Study to show thyself approved. I was telling Brother Jim this morning, they left my class. I know of very few kids over all those years that did not know the Ten Commandments, that did not know the books of the Bible, that couldn't quote scripture after scripture after scripture. We focused on 2 Timothy 2:15. And we put it to the test and to the challenge. You want to know more about the second coming of Christ? Find every passage in the Bible that deals with it. Read them, all in their context, by the way. Make notes. Write down what the Lord reveals to you from each passage. Begin to compare that. Maybe you want to get in the habit of marking themes in your Bible. Maybe it's a theme about grace, you'll mark it with blue. Maybe it's a theme about the blood of Christ, you'll mark it with red. Maybe it's a theme about, oh, Satan slew for himself, you'll mark it with black, whatever it is. Study in your Bible, listen to me. There ought to be a systematic thing about it. It'll strengthen your faith. You'll find out, watch this, that your beliefs rest upon a firm foundation, the Word of God. Instead of when you talk to people, well, that's what my preacher says. That's what my pastor says. Listen, the reason so many Christians are unsettled, Jesus said, search the Scriptures. You do err, not knowing the Scriptures. And they're unsettled. And the reason they're afraid to talk about their faith, because they don't know the Scriptures. They call it other things, but that's what it is. We got to search the Scriptures. I don't know what you did, but turn me down. Search the Scriptures. Mark your Bible. Get in the habit of that. Now, I've got a Bible reading plan I'd be glad to share with you that I use. You can use whatever you want. We've got one on our website. I challenge you. Go to our website, and you click on at the bottom. There's a thing, a link. It's called Growth Place. You click on Growth Place. There's many Bible tools, really. But on there, one of the greatest, if I could give you one of the greatest Bible tools, really, that I use as much as I use anything, probably it's a free tool. It's called Blue Letter Bible. It's on there. You can do an intense, in-depth study on that one site alone. They got commentaries. They got, just above that, there's a link for the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. You can do in-depth, I'm talking, some of these have thematic, topical, you can do all kinds of Bible studies on that one. It's a free source. Blue Letter Bible. Click on it, check it out. When you click on it, you get the verse you want. You can click tools. Go to commentaries. You can go, it'll look up, it'll do cross references for you. All kinds of things on there. You can, it'll break down the word, give you the Hebrew, give you the Greek. You can even, I think it's got the thing where you can click and listen to how it's pronounced. All that stuff, utilize it. That's what it's there for. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. The reason that we're so afraid to share our faith and the reason that we're so unsettled is because we don't know the Word of God. And you're basing every time you begin to talk to somebody, and then you feel dumb because you talk to them and say something, and they say, well, where's that at in the Bible? Or what's, well, that's what my pastor says. But listen, your faith needs to have a foundation. It needs to be more than me. It needs to be this, the Word of God. If one verse isn't real clear, you're reading the Bible, you can't read, write a cross reference, something that'll help you shed light on it. Oh, yeah, that's what it's talking about. I'm talking about there ought to be a plan. See, the passion, search Scripture's a plan. That's the exhortation of Scripture. I want you to notice the second thing, the excellency of the Scriptures. He tells us first, in his exhortation, he says, search the Scriptures. Notice the excellency of the Scriptures. He says this, in them you think you have eternal life. Do you understand tonight the value and the worth of the Word of God? It's through the Scriptures that we learn how to escape the damnation of hell. It's through the Scriptures that we learn how to be saved by the grace of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to what? Thy word. It teaches us how to escape the wrath of God. Through the Scriptures we learn how we can gain eternal life. Whosoever believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Whosoever believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. Look with me. Stay in John 5. Go to Psalms 19 real quick. Psalms 19. And I'm going to give you a little quick reference guide here quickly. If you want verses on the Scripture, on the Word of God, there are many of them. But Psalms 19 and Psalms 119 give you plenty of them. Matter of fact, your Bible reading lesson for tonight, If you're going to be lazy, you can do it in the morning. But tonight, you go read Psalm 119. The whole entire thing, you know what it's about? The Word of God. Teach me thy commandments. Oh, I'm asking thy statutes. All of it's about the Word of God. Longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 19, look with me at verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. What's the law of the Lord? It's the Word of God. Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The testimony of the Lord, that's the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right. That's the Word of God. Rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by what? By the words, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, watch this, you ought to underline this in your Bible, in keeping of them, there is great reward. Now, I got a question for you tonight. How are you going to keep them if you don't know them? Thy word have I hidden mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against God. God says, in keeping of them, there's great reward. Boy, I like the blessings of God. I do too. I'll be honest with you. Why aren't we seeing the rewards? In keeping of them, there is great reward. But Job said this, you know. Now understand, he cried out in his pain. He cried out sitting in ashes and sackcloth with bulls from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And still in all the pain and in all the agony, his wife turned her back and said, curse God and die. Job, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Job cries out in that kind of condition and he says this, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. More than that which it takes to keep me alive. More than that which it takes to sustain me and for me to continue on. I got to have food. But he says, I've placed higher the words of God than that necessary food that I need. Psalm 138 verse 2, the Bible says this, the Lord has magnified his word above his name. By the way, his name, watch this, is only as good as his word. He's magnified his word above his name. But his name's only as good as his word anyway. Word of God, listen to me, it's so valuable to mankind. It's amazing to me that you can purchase one so cheap. You know, we've got Bibles, most of you got Bibles all over the place. This Bible I have right now, it was actually given to me. It was given to me when I became a pastor here. And the former pastor handed it to me and handed off the responsibility, handed off the sword. And I didn't use it for a long time, really, because I just wasn't used to it, couldn't get used to it. And my other Bible got so raggedy, honestly, it's embarrassed to carry. And I did like the study notes in this Bible, so I finally got used to it. I've got a Bible I bought at Crown College. I thought it was a good deal. It's a large print Bible. And I'm going to tell you this, it'll absolutely break your hand even sitting in a pew trying to hold it. It's a big old thing. I don't need a large print Bible. But I thought it was a good deal. It was about $70. I bought it over there. I mean, I could go and I got a Bible I keep in my truck all the time. I mean, we got Bibles everywhere. It's amazing to me that something so valuable, man, we can get it so cheap. They're a dime a dozen. I believe because of that, we don't reverence it. We don't appreciate it like we should. As sinners, it tells us how to become saints. As Christians, it tells us how to live better. It tells us how to live cleaner. It's our rule book for faith and practice. Think about this. What a great impact this book has made on mankind. Do you understand the impact the Word of God has made on society? No other book's ever made an impact like this book has made. And after all the attacks against it, after all those that have tried to deny it, after everyone that has tried to delude it, and after all that have tried to destroy it, this old book is still standing the test of time. It's still the bestseller. It's still the greatest thing in all the world. And if we'll get in the book, and if we'll allow the book to get in us, we won't be swayed by the changing tide of this world. No book, listen, influences mankind like the Bible. It excels in moral standards. It's, in integrity and subject matter and its literary excellence. Listen, this book, it's the book of books. It's the breath of heaven. It's wisdom from another world. It's bread when I'm hungry. It's water when I'm thirsty. And it's shade in a dry and in a desert land when I'm ready to give up. Can I say this to you? The old word, it won't let me give up. Jeremiah said this, that his word was like a fire shut up in my bones and I couldn't stay. That's the word of God. That's the power of the book. An unknown writer said this. He said, this book is the mind of God. State of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Christ is its grand subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. I'm talking about the excellency of the Scriptures. I want you to notice the third thing tonight out of this one verse. Not only the exhortation of the Scriptures, he says, search the Scriptures. And then the excellency of the Scripture. Notice the enlightenment from the Scriptures. He says, search the Scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. Then watch these words. They are they, what's that? Talking about the Word of God. They are they which testify of me. The enlightenment of the Scriptures. If you know anything about the Bible, you know this. Its main theme is the Lord Jesus Christ. From cover to cover, there's a common thread, and it's about Christ. He's seen all throughout the books and types and in shadows. He even has appearances in Christophanies, we call them there, in the Word of God. I've got one preacher friend I've told you about that he was ridiculed. They said, well, all he ever does is preach Jesus. Well, what else you preach unless you're preaching the Lord Jesus Christ out of the Word of God? I love how all throughout the book and even in the Old Testament, you see Christ. Christ in the book, all throughout the book. In Luke chapter number 24. In Luke chapter number 24, it's one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. Luke chapter 24. The Bible says this in verse number 25. You remember the story of their own. They're heading down the road to Emmaus. They've left. They thought that the Lord's been crucified and it's the end of it all. And so they're heading back and they've got the two disciples on the road to Emmaus there. And listen to me at Luke chapter number 24, verse number 25. The Bible says this. He's talking with them there. They ask him, they say, you know, he says, what are y'all sad about? They said, man, where have you been? You haven't heard everything that's been going on around here? How Christ was crucified? Look at what he says in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I told you this was going to happen in the prophets. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in to his glory? And beginning, watch these words. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning back at Moses. That's the Old Testament, friend. Moses, the Pentateuch, the law. But beginning at Moses, at Genesis. And through all the prophets, the Bible says he expounded unto them the things concerning what? Himself. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's its main theme. The book of Esther is an amazing book. Many people will tell you it doesn't belong in the canon of scriptures. Of course it does. We know God said it does. But the book of Esther, it never mentions God. But his providential unseen hand is evident all throughout the book as he works behind the scenes to protect and to preserve his people. Jesus said this, they, talking about the scriptures, they are they which testify of me. You want to be enlightened about who Jesus is? Read the book. Study the book. Learn the book. Lean on the book. Learn to love the book. And you'll find Jesus there. Somebody said Christ is foreshadowed in the historical books. He's foreshadowed. You can see the types of him. You can see what's pointing to what's coming. The foreshadowed in historical books. His feelings are expressed in the poetical books. He is foretold the poetical books, his foretold in the prophetical books, his facts are given in the gospel books, his followers are found in the acts of the books. Of course, that's the early church. His fruits are seen in the epistles of the book, and his future is told in the revelations of the book. Jesus, he's the main message, the main theme of the Word of God. If you think highly of the written Word, you'll know something. You'll think highly of the living Word. You don't think highly of the written Word, you're going to have a hard time thinking highly of the living Word. Jesus had searched the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Maybe you've gotten out of the routine of reading and studying your Bible. You've made a resolution, beginning of the year. Now we're almost halfway through the year. How are you doing? How are you doing with truly reading and studying the Word of God? You made that commitment, and maybe it's been replaced by other things. You've gotten busy. We're all busy. The Bible says that there's great reward right here. Great reward. I've seen it in my own life. I want to tell you something. Jesus encourages you here. Search the Scriptures. Study the Bible. What a tragedy it is for the child of God to not know the Scriptures, to not know the Word of God. In this book, listen, you'll find answers to your questions. You'll find solutions to your problems. You're going everywhere else, the answer is right here. You heard Brother Jacobs just a few moments ago. He had a problem. Lord, what will you have me to do? Nor he found the answer. He didn't find it on the phone. Didn't find it on Facebook. Didn't find it on Google. Found it in Acts 16, Word of God. Search the Scriptures. Listen, this answers to your problems. Solutions, answers your questions. Solutions to your problems is peace for your soul. If you'll make reading and studying the Bible a priority in your life, I want to tell you something. It'll radically change your life and your world. Radically, completely change you. You'll be amazed the difference it'll make in your confidence. You know what Paul said? I know whom I have believed. Wasn't a preacher. I know whom I have believed. Where's your faith? It ought to be in the Word of God. How can it be in the Word of God? You got to know it. It'll make a difference on your confidence. It'll make a difference in your compassion. You know something I've learned? You can't read this book without eventually developing the mind and the Spirit of God. What's the Bible say in Romans? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? Word of God. Yeah, it'll transform your mind. It'll make you like Christ. It'll make you think like Christ. Make you act like Christ. It'll help your confidence, help your compassion. It'll help cut down on your confusion. Listen, as we walk through this world and live in this world, something I've noticed is this. We're bombarded with everyone telling us what's right, the world telling us what's right and wrong, everyone else. I'm telling you, I'm talking to Christians that are Bible-believing Christians just like you are, just like I am. They always have been. They've been in fundamental independent Baptist churches, but they begin to question their son comes up a sodomite or somebody else that they know or love or something else that's against God, maybe drinking, whatever the case is, and they begin to question. Well, maybe it's all right. When you really have a good grasp on the Word of God and you're reading it, you're studying it, and you're in the Word, you'll never come to that conclusion, friend. It'll help cut down the confusion in your life. Everything else around you, people are screaming, right, right, this is right, this good's evil, evil's good. The reason that many Christians are just, because they're not in the Word. Keeps you balanced, keeps you have a foundation. Not only will it cut down the confusion, but it'll give you comfort. I love Thessalonians. You know what he says? He gives the assurance that Christ is coming back. He gives the assurance that we'll see our loved ones that's gone on to be before us in heaven. And he says this, comfort one another with these words. What you have outside of the Spirit of God, outside of the family of God, the greatest thing that we have in addition to that is the Word of God. This world don't have that. You know what they comfort themselves in? Bottle of booze. Bottle of pills. But you and I can have comfort. It'll give you comfort in your world. Comfort one another with these words. Let's stand for prayer tonight. I wonder, will you make a decision to get serious about reading and studying the Word of God?